We live in an agricultural community, and up until about a week and a half ago, words like drought and famine strike dread in the heart. Then we had 10 and a half inches of rain, and we're thinking of building an ark, but you know, that's how the weather goes around here. But maybe we should be just as shaken when we hear the words of Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, that I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Do you think that applies to our culture, our church, maybe even ourselves? Oh, yeah. We hear the word of the Lord preached all the time. But what if we change that term words to voice? A famine of hearing the voice of the Lord. Do we hear God speak to our hearts? Now, I'm not talking about some new revelation that makes Scripture obsolete. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God speak to us on a personal, individual basis. Over these next few weeks, I want to examine an oft-neglected aspect of prayer. Many years ago, I attended a prayer conference that dealt with these very topics. I was challenged at that time. I'm still challenged today by what was said, and I want to share this material in addition to some other things I've picked up along the way. Under the heading, Be Still and Know. Psalm 46:10 tells us, Be still and know that I am God. But that area of stillness is very tough, especially in our society. It's hard for us to quiet ourselves long enough for God to speak to us. And the first topic I want to address this evening is the prayer of listening silence. The prayer of listening silence. Dr. Charles Nienkirchen was the speaker at that conference, and he admitted, he himself taught at Canadian Theological Seminary, as I travel to churches in Canada and teach classes of college students and seminarians, I have come to the conclusion that in the lives of many church-going Christians, the capacity to hear the voice of God has been greatly diminished. Not only has it been seriously diminished, but there are many Christians whom I suspect don't even have the desire to hear the voice of God. And I'm not sure he would change that sentiment all these years later. What about the desire of listening prayer? John White writes in his book, The Fight, It is God who wishes to establish communication. He is more anxious to speak to us than we are to hear from Him. He is incredibly persistent in trying to get through. Our real problem is that we tend to avoid hearing Him. Do we have a desire to hear God's voice? There are times when we probably honestly admit we do not. Thinking back to my childhood, There were times when I really did not want to hear my father's voice, especially when I knew I was in trouble. You know? You ever have that experience as a child when you heard your first and middle name called? Ugh. That always meant bad news. And there were times, I think, that even as adults, as Christians, we'd rather not hear from God because we know He's probably not pleased with how we're living. But even beyond those times, if it becomes a constant state, then frankly, we're in trouble, spiritually speaking. The problem we have with prayer is that we've only been taught one side of prayer. In prayer, we praise God, we thank God, we pour out our requests to God, we confess our sins to God. These are all good things. These are all necessary components of prayer. But did you notice they all have one thing in common? We're doing the talking. And if you think about your own experience, how much of our prayer lives consist of us talking to God? Now again, that's what prayer is for. Prayer is for us to talk to God. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to talk to God. All those activities I just mentioned, those are all good things. Those are all things we ought to do. But there's another side of prayer. There's another side of communication. And that is listening. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. It's right after Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're introduced to a boy that would become a very prominent person in the nation of Israel during this time. His name is Samuel. Samuel was what you might consider a miracle baby. For many, many years, his mother could not conceive, could not have a child. And she promised God that if she could have a child, she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And Samuel was born. And true to her word, his mother took him to the tabernacle, to the high priest whose name was Eli, and said, I want you to train this boy to devote his entire life in serving the Lord. And that's where we pick it up in chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Kind of sounds like that famine that Amos talked about, didn't it? One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood there calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Once Eli recognized what was happening and gave Samuel proper instruction, he replied to the voice of the Lord with six simple words. "Speak, for your servant is listening." I would suggest that those words would revolutionize the average Christian's prayer life. Much of our prayer resembles one hand clapping. Doesn't work, does it? Half of a circle. We have a full diet of speaking prayer, but we give very little place to listening prayer. See, God is not just an ear who listens, but He's also a voice who speaks. And if He never speaks, is it safe to say that He never hears? A mute God can soon become an absent God. We need to have the desire for listening prayer. We need to, like Samuel, train ourselves to listen. And sometimes that has to be very intentional. We need to quiet ourselves and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Now, if we have the desire to hear the voice of God, that's only the first step. Simply wishing for it is not enough. We must commit ourselves to hearing the voice of the Lord. George Partington wrote, "I determine and promise to obey God's voice upon every occasion and to any extent. I determine and promise to listen and hear His voice. I determine and promise to be quiet and still upon every occasion till I hear His voice. I will on no occasion do anything until I definitely and satisfactorily get God's voice in regard to it." Did you notice the words that he used? "I determine and promise," over and over. It's almost like a set of resolutions. And what this speaks of is the discipline of listening prayer. It's not something that comes naturally. It's not something that comes easily. And at this point, we stand against our culture, which doesn't value silence at all. Our speaker at that conference shared, "A friend of mine wrote to me, 'Silence is something this modern world neither desires nor understands. It does not see silence as the love of God permeated by the Holy Spirit. Silence for our consumer society is not sellable, hence it is worthless and useless." Think about the abuse of music in our culture. I'm not talking about any particular style of music that you might not like and therefore you would classify it as an abuse. I'm talking about the use of it in which music becomes almost an anesthetic. Think of all the places we encounter music that way, in shopping centers, on telephones when we're on hold, on airplanes, and of course, in elevators. They've even created a new style of music called elevator music. Why? Because we can't stand silence. On the radio, if there's an extended period of silence, they call that dead air space. And if it goes longer than about 2 seconds, somebody's in trouble. We can't have silence. And all this testifies quite eloquently that our society doesn't value it. What's the greatest obstacle to listening prayer? Noise. It's hard to get somewhere that is quiet, isn't it? It's hard to eliminate physical noise. But it isn't just the outside noise. See, there's inside noise as well. And it's very difficult to quiet our minds We must tone down the noise with which we constantly live our lives. And this is not going to happen in just a minute or two. And this is why I think listening prayer is so rare for the American Christian. It takes time. And our culture says time is money. So if you're not doing something constructive, if you're not doing something that adds to the bottom line, well, that's worthless. But listening to God is going to cost time. We may need to double the amount of time we spend in prayer to allow for both listening and speaking prayer. This experience was shared by Dr. A.B. Simpson. He was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. He wrote his testimony back in 1909 in an article called The Power of Stillness. And in it he said, "At first I thought this would be a very easy matter, so I began to get still. But I had no sooner commenced than a perfect pandemonium of voices reached my ears, 1,000 clamoring notes from within and without, until I could hear nothing but their noise and din. Then came the conflict of thoughts for the next day, its duties and cares, but God said, 'Be still.' And as I listened and slowly learned to obey, and shut my ears to every sound, I found that after a while, when the other voices ceased or I had ceased to hear them, there was a still, small voice in the depths of my being that began to speak with an inexpressible tenderness, power, and comfort. As I listened, it became to me the voice of prayer, the voice of wisdom, the voice of duty. And I do not need to think so hard or pray so hard or trust so hard. But that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart was God's prayer to my soul. It was God's answer to all my questions. It was God's life and strength for soul and body, and became the substance of all knowledge and all prayer and all blessing. For it was the living God Himself as my all." Oftentimes we come to God and we want answers. We want solutions. And God says, "I'm offering you me." And that's what we get to when we are able to listen to the voice of God. The verse he referred to is Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." It's a verse Donald Gray Barnhouse called one of the most important verses for the conduct of the Christian life. We sing it in our hymns. We've heard others sing it in more contemporary renditions. We see it on cards and on plaques. And perhaps we've become so familiar with the words that they've lost their meaning. I looked up this verse in a few other translations to get a fresh look at it. The New American Standard says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." The New Living Translation, "Be silent and know that I am God." The Amplified Bible, "Let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God." The Hebrew word here literally means to slacken or to cease. It's the idea of stop. We see it in 1 Samuel 15, when the prophet Samuel, the same one we read about in chapter 3, he's now a man. He is now God's prophet. And he is sent to confront King Saul, the first king of Israel. God had told Saul, "I want you to get your army, I want you to attack the Amalekites, and I want you to wipe them out. Nothing is to be left. Not humans, animals, nothing." And so Saul gets the army, he goes out, he defeats the Amalekites, but he keeps the king alive, and he keeps the best of their flocks and herds. And I love this story. I mean, you know the Bible's got a sense of humor, right? I love this story. Samuel comes. God has informed Samuel in advance, Saul has disobeyed me, and I'm done with him. You go tell him that he's no longer going to be king in a very short time. So Samuel is coming with that message. He comes over the hill and Saul sees him. And Saul says, "Oh, God bless you, Samuel. So great to see you. I have fulfilled the word of the Lord." To which Samuel says, "Oh, really? Why then am I hearing the bleating of sheep across the hill? If you really obeyed the word of the Lord, there shouldn't be anything left." And Saul starts making excuses. "Oh, those sheep. Yeah, that was the soldier's idea, and we're going to make a great sacrifice to God." And Samuel says to Saul, "Wait, it's the same Hebrew word used in Psalm 46:10. In the context, he is saying, "Shut up. You need to stop and listen to the word of the Lord." And I suggest to you that that's not a bad way to read Psalm 46:10. Shut up and know that I am God. I know that sounds harsh, but sometimes that's what we need. We need to be told, shut up. Stop speaking. Quit with the excuses. Quit with the justifications. Quit telling God how he ought to run the universe. Shut up and listen. And that's really what Samuel told to Saul. And I think that's what Scripture's telling to some of us. Oh yeah, you spend a lot of time in prayer. You're telling God all of your concerns. You give him thanks. You give him praise. That's all good. But my guess is that for many of us, and I know I'm guilty of this as well, we come before God, we rattle on and on and on and on and on and on, and as soon as we're done, we're out of there before God even has a chance to say anything to us. Is that really communication? Communication requires both sides being able to speak and both sides listening. And so we need to quiet our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:7, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. That really applies in our prayer life. Nothing wrong with the speaking part of prayer. So don't take what I'm saying wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong to bring our requests to God. I'm not saying it's wrong to give thanks to God, to praise God, to give him honor. We should do all those things, but we should do more than that. When we're done saying our piece to God, we need to give God the same opportunity to speak to us. We need to be still in order to know that he is God. Take our hands off. Relax. We like to be hands-on people. We like to manage our own lives, but God is God. We are his servants. We need to hear what he has to say to us. And that's not easy. It's difficult to find a time. It's difficult to find a place. The attitude to listen to the voice of the Lord, it's something we develop, and it takes discipline. It's just like a diet or an exercise plan, starting a good habit or breaking a bad one. Doesn't happen overnight. It's not easy. It requires discipline. It requires self-control. And honestly, we have to want it bad enough to pay the costs. But when we do, I believe that we'll find that it's well worth it. We will discover the depth of listening prayer. And you're going to see that you're going to find that no other way. Consider these from the Word of God. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:10. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Job 12:22 says, He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. What are we talking about here? We're talking about depth. And I think so often we play in the kiddie pool, the shallow end of the pool. We don't get into the depths of God. Why? Because it takes time. It takes developing the discipline of listening to God. And if we really believe what God says about His Spirit, that's available to us. We can have access to this. We can't get it on our own. In Job 11, verses 7 and 8, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? And that's absolutely true in our own power. But the Holy Spirit of God is higher than the heavens and deeper than the depths. God is there. And I believe He wants to take us there. I believe He wants to communicate to us those great truths. But we must listen. You see, depth is where we step out of the shallow tide pool of our hearts into the boundless ocean of God's power and presence. It's where we get beyond the surface things. We plunge into a deep relationship with our Creator. Going deep with God begins with a major shift in our perceptions about prayer. See, so often we're looking for techniques through which we can get God to answer our prayers. We need to be mindful that prayer is an opportunity for developing intimacy with Him. The one who knit us together in our mother's womb, He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand where He's coming from. He wants to be God. And in order for that to happen, we need to be still. We need to be silent. We need to listen. Richard Foster laments, "Superficiality is the curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction is a primary spiritual problem. The desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but deep people." And you don't have to have a Bible college or seminary degree to have that. You don't have to know all the answers. You need to know the God of the Word. And I think if there's one thing lacking in our evangelical Christians is that we are so in tune to learning the Word of God, we've lost the God of the Word. And it becomes an intellectual pursuit. And while that's not bad in and of itself, if that's as far as it goes, we're only in the shallow end of the pool. God wants to take us into the depths. Deep Christians are hard to come by. First, there has to be that desire for depth. And that's not automatic in all believers. Then there needs to be the discipline to make it happen. I don't think there's any spiritual depth attained without the prayer of listening silence. In fact, as our speaker mentioned in that seminar years ago, the highest form of prayer may indeed be wordless. As we allow God to speak to us. But when we develop that discipline, when we get to where we can be still and know that He is God, He is going to take us to depths we can't even imagine. He is going to open our eyes to things that will blow our minds. And frankly, our minds need to be blown. We've gotten to where we've got God put in a little box, and we've got Him all figured out. And if I do this right, and if I say these words, and if this and this and this, I can get God to do what I want Him to do. At that point, who's God? You know, is He our servant or are we His? And I would really challenge you to try to find that time. Make the time. So that you can not only present your requests to God and spend time in praise and thanksgiving and worship, find time to listen. In our next message, we're going to see how Jesus practiced this prayer of listening silence, how we can follow His example. But I think before we get there, we have to determine within ourselves, is this something I want? Is this something I truly desire? And if so, we need to discipline ourselves to make the time. Turn off the noise, inside and out, and listen to God speak. May our attitude be the same as Samuel as a boy. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And when God finds His servants listening, He will speak. Will you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we confess that we find silence awkward. We don't like it. But we also know that it's necessary to hear Your voice. Like Elijah, we can be distracted by the wind and the storms and all that's going on around us that we miss Your still, small voice. Give us the desire to hear You. Give us the discipline to quiet ourselves in Your presence. Take us to the depths of what You want for each one of our lives. May we grow in depth as we learn to listen to You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.